Today, this morning and tonight, I'm going to do the opposite of what I normally do. I'm going to preach two messages out of this passage in Matthew chapter 14. Tonight, we'll read some more verses, three more than we did this morning. I have two messages. I have a Sunday morning message and a Sunday night message out of this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to do the opposite this morning because I'm going to preach the Sunday night message this morning and the Sunday morning message tonight. Because I think every now and then, the folks that just come on Sunday morning need a Sunday night kind of message. And that's what this is. It's a Sunday night type of message. I'm going to preach on the subject this morning, how to do the impossible. How to do the impossible. Now, tonight I'm going to preach on the subject, Into the Storm. And again, tonight's message will be the kind I normally preach on Sunday morning, and this message is the kind I normally preach on Sunday night. I'm hoping that you that come just on Sunday morning will like the message this morning so much you'll decide to come back on Sunday nights to hear the rest of them that are like this. We read about Peter in this passage of Scripture. Peter was a fisherman. Fisherman all his life. I think he started when he was a little boy. I think his daddy was a fisherman. I think his grandpa was a fisherman. And so he, as a fisherman, Peter had been around water all of his life. And if anybody knew that it was impossible to walk upon water, it was Peter. He knew that when you drop things in water, they sank. And I think about some of the fishing trips that I went on with my dad and how I would drop stuff and it would sink. And he would say, you got to hang on to that pole or that net or that other stuff because it would sink to the bottom. And yet in this passage of Scripture, we find Peter, somebody that knew that something couldn't be done, doing it. Walking on water. He knew it couldn't be done. Never. He'd never done it before. He'd probably fallen out of the boat and had to, started to sink and had to swim up to get back into the boat before. But here was somebody that knew something couldn't be done that was doing it. I mean, he knew the laws of gravity. He knew the laws of water. He knew if you drop something in the water, it was going to sink. And yet here was a man, as Chuck read about and in verse 29, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I'm glad that we have a God that can that did and does do the impossible. I'm glad that we have a God that when men say it can't be done, when men say it's impossible, when men say that it's hard, I'm glad we have a God that says, not too hard for me. Back in the Old Testament, back in the book of Genesis, God came to an old man, 199 years old, and an old woman, 89 years old, and he says, surprise, you're going to have a baby. And they said, no way. We're well past the age of childbearing. How can this be possible? And God says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And 9 months later, they had a little baby boy named Isaac. The psalmist in Psalm 77, after thinking about all the wonderful things that God had done, he said this, who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. That's the kind of God that our world needs today. A kind of God that can still do wonders. A kind of God that can still do the impossible. Our world today doesn't need a dead God. It doesn't need a God that's in the grave. It doesn't need a God like Buddha or Muhammad, or Allah, or all these other ones that people are holding up and saying, well, these are our gods. The world doesn't need a God like that today. What the kind of God that the world needs today is a God, yes, that went into the grave, but didn't stay there. Yes, a God that died for our sins, but rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father this morning. That's the kind of God that we need today. Did you ever stop and think, I was thinking about this the past few weeks as I've been thinking about my sermon this morning. Did you ever stop to think from a human standpoint about the story we ask people to believe when we go tell them about Jesus? From a human standpoint, just think about the story that we ask people to believe when we go tell them about Jesus. We tell them about somebody that was virgin born. We tell them about somebody who lived a perfect life. We tell them about somebody that was all man and yet at the same time was all God. We tell them about somebody who died on a cross 2,000 years ago, and yet that death pays for every sin that ever has been committed or is being committed today or will be committed in the future. We tell them about a person that was laid in a tomb, but who 3 days later, with the power of the Holy Spirit, arose from the dead and came back to life. We tell them about a person who, after spending a few days here on earth with his disciples, ascended up in the clouds and now sits at the right hand of God as our intercessor, as our advocate, as the one who looks over us and says to the Father, "Oh no, don't put that sin on their account. I paid for that one when I died on Calvary." And then we tell them about somebody who one day is going to come back and get all of those that believe in him. Now, from a human standpoint, that's a hard story to believe. From a human standpoint, that's an impossible story to believe. I mean, not just the whole story in total, but any one item. Nobody else has been virgin born. Nobody else has gone into the grave and on with the power of the Holy Spirit. I know Lazarus went to the grave and spent 4 days, but it's the one we're talking about that brought him back to life. I know there was a little girl who was dead, and the one we're talking about brought her back to life. I know there was a young man, the only child of a widow who died, and the one we're talking about brought him back to life. But Jesus is the only one that I know that went into the grave and with the power of the Holy Spirit came up out of that grave. It's an impossible story from a human standpoint to believe that somebody could come and live a perfect life, that somebody rose in the clouds and went up to heaven, and that somebody is coming back to get us. I don't care which one of those things on that list you pick out. Every single one of them is hard to believe from a human standpoint. It's impossible to believe. And yet, we as Christians are commanded, are commissioned, are instructed to take this story into the world. "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature," is what it says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Who's going to believe us? And I'll tell you the truth this morning. If you go out in your own power, if you go out in your own strength, if you go out by yourself, there isn't anyone that's going to believe this story that we hold true and dear to our hearts. It's impossible. Reminds me of the scripture in the book of Matthew where the rich man came to Jesus and said, "Master, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Have you considered the commandments?" And they listed some of them. And this young man said, "I've done all of those since my youth." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Okay, go sell what you have and give it to the poor." And the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he was rich. And his disciples were standing there, and Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "It's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." And his disciples said, "Well, then who can be saved? If it's hard," in fact, Jesus says, "it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to be saved." And his disciples turned back to him and then said, "Master, who then can be saved?" And Jesus said this, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And I will tell you that thing is true, that saying of Jesus is true. With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible every time any person goes out and tells somebody about Jesus. I can't save them. Brother Clint can't save them. Brother Chuck can't save them. When we go out on our own in our own strength with human wisdom and present this unbelievable story to a person that knows nothing about this book, to a person who maybe has never come into the door of a church, when we present this unbelievable story to them, it is impossible for us to lead them to Christ. But with God, all things are possible. With God, there is nothing too hard. And when God sends us out He says, I'm sending you out to do the impossible. You can't do it on your own. But if you go with me, if you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. This morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, as I mentioned before, how to do the impossible. And I'm going to preach on that subject in the context of soul winning. I'm going to preach on that subject in the context of going out and telling people about Jesus. I'm going to preach on that subject, how to do the impossible, with that in mind. How do we take this unbelievable story to people that don't know Christ and see them come to know Him? Six parts to the answer to that question. How do we do the impossible in that context? Number one, we make sure we're in the boat. Now, here's what I mean by that. The disciples were in the boat. Jesus, we're going to talk about it tonight. Jesus constrained them to get in the boat. He pressed them to get in the boat. He said, get in the boat. And so the disciples and Peter, when they were in the boat, were exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. And my point is, Peter would not have had the opportunity to do the impossible, to walk on water, unless he had been in the place that Jesus wanted him to be. Now, I'm going to liken the boat to the church. If you're going to do the impossible, if you're going to go out and tell people about Jesus and see them come to know Him, you need to get on board. You need to get into the church that God wants you to be in. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day approaching is talking about the day that Jesus will come back, when He will call all the saved away. That day is coming. I don't think it's very far away. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. He's coming. He's coming. And that day is fast approaching. And just like that verse says, we need to be busy. We need to be busy telling people about Jesus. And when we come together as an assembly, that's what the church is. Church is not this building. It's us together. When we come together as an assembly, one of the things we do for one another is exhort one another to tell people about Jesus. And so if you're going to do the impossible, if you're going to share Jesus with others, you need to get into the church that God has led you to, and you need to get on board. And by the way, you need to come. Not just on Sunday morning, but on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I was reading again that story in John chapter 20 this week where it says the disciples were gathered together on the first day of the week in the evening. Now, on my calendar, that's Sunday night. They were gathered together on the first day of the week in the evening with the doors locked. Jesus had been crucified. I think they were afraid for their life. They had the doors locked, and into their midst comes their risen Savior. Jesus stood in their midst. The next day, they were telling Thomas about it. Thomas says, I don't believe it. He said, until I can put my finger in the prints in his hand, and until I can stick my hand in his side where the spear pierced him, I'm not going to believe it. Now, what was Thomas's problem? Real simple. He missed church on Sunday night. I mean, if he missed church on Sunday night, he didn't get to hear the preaching. He didn't get to see the Savior. Jesus, when Jesus saw him the next time, he said, come on, Thomas, put your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Thomas said, I don't need to now. I can see it. And Jesus said, all right, Thomas, I'm glad you can see it and you believe it. But blessed are those who can't see it and yet believe. And that's all of us. We didn't see it. I couldn't put my finger in the nail scar in my Savior's hand. But I believe it because I've been in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just about my whole life. And I've heard the preaching. And I've been encouraged by others, by their example. So if you're going to do the impossible when it comes to telling people about Jesus, you need to get into church. Number two, you need to go. Let me find out where I am. Number one. Number two. All right, there I am. Number two, you need to desire the impossible. You need to desire the impossible. Peter was in the boat, but he wasn't satisfied. He said, Lord, I want to come to where you are. Bid me come to you. Bid me come walking on the water. If you really want to do the impossible when it comes to telling people about Jesus, you've got to have that desire. Proverbs 18, verse 1, the Bible says, through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What that verse is saying is that that the doing of all good things starts with a desire. It starts with a want to. It starts with a heartfelt desire to go out and to see somebody receive Christ as their Savior. Let me ask you this morning, who do you want saved? Who do you know? Who do you love that doesn't know Christ, that you want them to meet the Savior, that you want them to stay out of hell? Is it a parent, a child, a grandchild, a brother, a sister? I mean, you can go down the list as well as I can. Every single Christian ought to have somebody that's on their heart and on their mind and be able to say, I have a desire, I have a want to in my heart, I have a longing in my heart for this person to get saved. I want them to meet Jesus. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're a Christian here this morning, and you can honestly say, I don't have anybody on my heart, I don't have a desire for anybody to avoid hell, there's something wrong. You're sick spiritually. You need to come, the invitation, get on your knees before God and say, God, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and I have people in my family that are not saved, and I don't have a desire for them to be saved. God, give me that desire. Something wrong. If you're going to do the impossible, you've got to have a desire. A desire. Number three, you got to pray for the impossible. Peter not only desired it, he said, Lord, would you bid me come? Would you bid me come? I know, here's what he was saying. I know I can't do it on my own. It's impossible. But I know I could do it if you say, okay. Would you bid me come? You have somebody on your heart. You have somebody on your mind. Somebody that's not saved. Somebody in your family. A neighbor, a friend. Somebody you work with. Somebody that the Holy Spirit has just convicted you about. And you have them on your heart and you have them on your mind. Let me ask you this morning, are you praying for them? Are you begging God that they get saved? That's the kind of prayer that God loves to answer. When we go to Him and say, dear God, I got a friend. He doesn't know Jesus. He's on his way to hell. And God, he needs Jesus. That's the kind of prayer that God loves to answer. That's the kind of prayer that he's talking about in Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's the kind of prayer when you're praying for somebody to be saved, that God will always hear. So I ask you this morning, who are you praying for? And how much are you praying for him? I couldn't help but think about that story we've talked about recently about the widow and the unjust judge who the widow came to the judge and said, hey, you need to fix something for me. There's something wrong. It's not right. You need to fix it. And the judge said, I'm not going to do it. Just stay away from me. I'm not going to deal with that issue. And he tried to ignore her. And the Bible says she kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And he finally said, I'm not going to do it because it's right. I'm going to do it just to get her off my back. Now, God's not that kind of God, but Jesus told that story so we would know how to pray. Jesus told that story to tell us that if you really want something, then you need to keep coming back to God over and 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 over again. And asking God and begging God and pleading with God and telling God, this person needs to be saved. Dear God, you know it as much as I know it. They're on their way to hell. Save them. And pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And don't quit. Number four, not only do we need to pray for it, but we need to not pray for convenience and ease. I'll tell you something. If I was Peter and I was going to walk on water, I'd want it to be in the middle of the day when the sea was calm. Wouldn't you? I mean, this was the middle of the night. It was dark. And there was a storm. I mean, the waves were raging. And I'm no fool, man. If I'm going to try to do something that's never been done before, if I was going to try to do something impossible, I wouldn't pick the worst possible conditions to do it in. I'd want it to be high noon. I'd want the sun to be shining. I'd want there to be no wind blowing. I'd want that lake to be just as like a piece of glass. It's not the way it works sometimes. But isn't that how we often want God to work? Especially when it comes to this subject. I want to be able to go to God and get down on my knees and pray one prayer. And then I want to be able to take one track and have one conversation with a person and see him get saved. I don't want to have to labor in prayer. I don't want to have to spend all night praying. I don't want to have to miss meals. I don't want to have to go to them and get rejected and get turned down. I want it to be convenient and I want it to be easy. Well, let me ask you, how many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? You've heard my testimony. Boy, the preacher aimed the gospel gun at me over and over. I can remember standing there at invitation time knowing that I should go forward, but with my fingernails dug into the pew in front of me saying, not today, not today. I was afraid. I can remember my grandma. I've told you my testimony. She'd take that old bony finger of hers and put it in my face and say to her grandson, you're going to hell. You don't get saved. She wasn't nice about it. She loved me. She didn't want me to go to hell. And it wasn't just one little finger pointing. It was every week.